Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's see who's savvy and who gets taken to the cleaners.
With the first pick, the Oakland Raiders select quarterback Jamarcus Russell, LSU.
This is Primetime on Draft Week.
Brought to you by Crunch Fitness, celebrating 35 years of fitness with a party on Tuesday, April 30th from 4 to 7 p.m. at Aloha, Beaverton, Division Center, and Vancouver Plaza.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Jamarcus Russell's going to immediately energize that Raider Nation.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
What's up?
I love old draft, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's so stupid because everyone screws up in the draft, but it's just, it's funny to go back and Jamarcus Russell is going to, you know, lighten up that Raiders crowd. They're going to love him.
Well, it's funny because I have to actually go through some old clips to find some stuff to put in these opens that get written. And so the stuff people have compiled from over the years is remarkable. There's like an 11-minute clip of Mel Kiper just being wrong.
And
they have it for everybody. So it's
I kind of
want
to hear that. Can we play that?
I can find some of it.
Oh, and some of them are really, really bad. Like the people that are bashing Aaron Donald or Pat Mahomes. And then there's other people that are praising, you know, Rex Grossman and Tim Couch and, you know, Ryan Leaf. Remember at one point, Ryan Leaf and Peyton Manning was a big debate about which one do you go with the more polished product? Or do you go with the gunslinger Ryan Leaf?
What was Tim Couch's deal?
He just wasn't any good.
Well, yeah. But why? Like, why did we think he would be good?
Because he had all the, like, if you develop the quarterback in a lab, it's Tim Couch, big, strong guy, athletic.
Prototypical.
So then the reason he wasn't any good was just between the years, or like, well, he just wasn't quick enough reading the field? Like, what held Tim Couch back? Because if you build him in a lab, weird science style, he should be hot.
Well, the problem with...
I mean, good.
Well, he is hot. He is a sexy man.
I mean, he was a total bust.
Yes, he was not any
good. Even close.
No, he was not. He was not good. But you know that.
You know.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 6'5", 225, 230 pounds. Like, and he had a big arm, could make all the throws. I mean, but that's like Will Levis. Like, the NFL, you have to have certain physical makeups, right? 99% of the guys that play in the NFL fit into some sort of mold. There are outliers, but like, if you're going to be a left tackle, you have to have long arms. Just, you can't have short arms and be a left tackle unless you are just the freak of freaks. If you're a receiver, or I guess maybe like, let's just go with the DB. If you have stiff hips, I don't care how fast you are. I don't care how great your ball skills are. If you have stiff hips and you will not be a corner in the NFL. Just, it's not gonna work.
I should have been a, well, wait, I couldn't have been a corner because I have stiff hips.
Yeah,
they better be oily.
They better be oily.
My hips are not oily.
Yeah. So, like, there's...
So that makes me feel better than ever getting drafted.
And so when you have someone, like, when we look at a quarterback and we say, okay, these are the things we like out of our quarterbacks, A, B, C, D, E, and someone has all of those, then we fall in love with it. And then they're good in college, and, you know, there's the big upside in your drafting, but there's so many things that go into it. One, how much do you like the game? How much are you willing to work? What kind of film study are you put into? And then the difference between college and the NFL, I can speak to this because I was really good in college. And I'm telling you, I was really bad in the NFL. And it's the same game, but it's not, because it's faster and it's more complex. And by God, the players that you're playing against are so much better. And so the difference between, like, throwing a guy open in college, almost every time you're throwing the ball, your guy is open. There's just not many contested, especially if you have elite receivers. There are so many bad defensive backs playing in college football. It's insane. And so you get to the NFL and there are no bad defensive backs and there are no real open receivers and their coverages are disguised so much. And so what you thought was an accurate pass in college is knocked down 8 times out of 10 in the NFL. And in college, where you had 4 seconds to stand back there, now you have 2.5, and the ball better come out on time, and they're hunting your ass. And the coverages that are played in college are so simplistic, and in the NFL, they're so good at disguising them. And the rotations in the secondary happen so fast, and the blitzes come from so many different directions. It's just... it's why the hit rate for quarterbacks is, and yeah, most positions, is about 50-50.
Do you think the league has gotten any better at just sifting through all that when it comes to quarterbacks?
I think we
are we getting better at that?
I think we are a little bit. I think with analytics, and I think we have enough behind this where we can look at certain things and say, if you don't do this well in college, you're not going to do it well in the NFL. But we still can't account for the... the read and reaction, the speed, the, like, some of that stuff is where you go, the sort of coaching you get, what sort of person you are. Like, if you go and you don't, if you're not just a film junkie, you're gonna flunk out, simply because, like, at that level, you can't get by on athleticism alone. And so I think we've gotten a little better, but to the hit rate, again, 50-50. How much, and by the way, some of that is just, there's maybe 14 to 15 people on the planet that can play that position at a really high level at any time. Think about how small that is. And we're constantly trying to go from 15 that can do that to 50, or, you know, God, people would be happy with 32. And that just goes to show you just how difficult the challenge is. So when you're mining for something that's really rare, you can think you're doing everything right, and you still end up being wrong.
Yeah.
So it's an educated guess, but we've gotten better with how we make our educated guesses.
I feel like it's hard because the archetype is always changing.
Yeah.
Like, you look at these guys at the top of this draft, and, you know, in recent years, that is a totally different athlete than 10, 15, 20 years ago.
100%.
And that makes it even harder, because
yes,
now you have to shift to different,
yep,
parameters. It's just...
Well, we've brought in more college concepts, even the last handful of years. Like, it used to be, what did we love? We loved the big arm that could throw deep. But that...
that guy in this draft?
Penix throws a really good deep ball. I mean, he can... And so does Caleb Williams, by the way. I mean, both of those guys can absolutely sling it. They got big old arms. But the deep ball in the NFL over the last handful of years, it's kind of gone away. I mean, those things still happen, but a couple years ago with Kansas City, teams figured out with the Chiefs, dude, we're just going to play 2 high safeties and we're not going to let you throw over the top of us. And so even just in the last couple years, that game has changed. Yeah, we'd like to have a speed burner and a guy that can take the top off of defense and the Tyreek Hills and the Waddles, but when you watch a lot of Tyreek Hill, his stuff is still underneath. You know, we've shifted a little bit. And so the game is constantly evolving. And I do think that teams have gotten better with saying the days of the Mike Martz, who had like this insane offense, you know, and a gajillion formations and just all this stuff. And we're like, I don't care what you can handle. This is our offense. You figure it out. We've gotten way better at neutering offenses and being like, look, we're going to spoon feed you this much, and this is what you're going to get. And then hopefully as you grow, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. We're not throwing guys to the wolves quite like what we used to. And some of the concepts that are coming in with RPOs and play action game, I'm not going to say it makes it easier, but it simplifies a little bit, and you're not allowed to hit quarterbacks anymore, so there's not the physical toll on their body. So it's getting easier to play the position, and yet we still have 15 guys in the world that can do it.
Yeah, it's just weird to me that having watched Jaden Daniels in college, that he's like this hot prospect.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
I'm not a big believer in him.
Watching him in college, he just doesn't look like a guy that's going to go and have a lot of success on the next level.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not an NFL scout.
Yeah.
I thought that about Josh Allen. There was all this hype his senior year. I watched him play against the Ducks, and I'm like, in a year, this guy's going to be a first-round pick? This guy's terrible.
Well, and there's a great example is he was terrible.
He actually got a lot better.
Josh Allen, his first 2 years in the NFL was ugh. Well,
but that's like, that goes back to Tim Couch. It's like, okay, you can see a guy with all the tools and built in a lab like Tim Couch and Josh Allen.
Yep.
One of them sucks in college. One of them is great in college. They both get drafted high, and one of them can't play a lick in the NFL, and the other one develops into one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah.
And it's not the guy who was good in college.
No.
Like, none of it makes sense.
Well, and this is why I hate the J.J. McCarthy thing. And look, he may end up being great. I am not. If I'm a GM, I sure as hell am not tying my wagon to J.J. McCarthy, because we did this once when you were gone. But the whole winning, this is what everyone says about him. Oh, he wins. He does whatever it takes to win, even if that means not throwing the ball. He didn't throw the ball once in the second half against Penn State. I could give a damn that you won a national championship. If Joe Burrow won one at LSU and one of the greatest offenses we've ever seen. But like an ultimate winner in college, Matt Leinart sucked. Ken Dorsey sucked. You know, Pat Mahomes never won more than 7 games at Texas Tech. John Elway never went to a bowl game at Stanford. Peyton Manning never won. Do you know Peyton Manning never won the SEC?
Yeah.
Not once. And you know what happened?
Couldn't beat Florida.
No. You know what happened the year after he left when T. Martin came in? They won a national championship. And so you can go on and on. There are so... Tom Brady, by the way, lost the starting job at Michigan. I think Tom Brady lost at least 2 or 3 games in the 2 years that he was a starter at Michigan. Like, there are so, and I don't know, he was a late-round pick, so maybe that's a little wonky, but this you're a winner thing, I don't care. I could care less if you won, because that is a team stat, right? Like, if you give me an average to above-average quarterback, and I put him at Georgia or Ohio State, he's going to win a hell of a lot more games than the elite guy that's at Texas Tech, and that doesn't mean he's a better NFL player.
How do you measure... Like, I heard Joel Klatt say this about J.J. McCarthy, and I like Joel Klatt. I think Joel Klatt knows a lot about football.
Yeah.
And he said that he thought Michigan has been the same team every year, but the difference this last year and why they won a title was one guy and one guy only, and that's J.J. McCarthy.
I don't believe that for a second.
Because he said, well, they're always, you know, they've always been, you know, defense first, run the ball. And they've never gotten over the hump, but now all of a sudden J.J. McCarthy gets them over the hump. He thinks that was due to J.J. McCarthy. How do you measure, if that's true, what is that? How do you measure
well,
that?
Well, look, and so I'll take him.
I think what you're saying is you don't think that's true.
I don't think it's true at all, but there's nuance to this. So did they win a national title because of J.J. McCarthy? Sure, because in moments... Look at the Alabama game when they needed a drive.
I thought he was really good against Ohio State.
Exactly. When they needed a drive or two against Ohio State and against Alabama, he was able to come through. But the reason they were in that position in the first place is because they played great defense and they ran the ball really, really well. Like, they had 18 guys that went to the combine and could break the record for guys being drafted. So if you're going to sit up here and make an argument that that's the same Michigan team that we've seen every year for the last 7 or 8 years, that's a dishonest argument. This is by far the best Michigan team that Jim Harbaugh had. So yes, J.J. McCarthy was a reason why they won, but if we go through and look at their regular season, J.J. McCarthy was not responsible for the majority of those wins. I'll give him credit that in some of those big moments, second half at Ohio State, Alabama when they needed a drive. He was there. But again, go to the Penn State game when their offense did nothing.
Well,
and he didn't throw the ball once in the second half.
I'm not sure, but he didn't need to. Like, I don't know why people keep pointing to that. Like, I just feel like, and I don't know anything about J.J. McCarthy. I don't know if he's going to be good or bad in the pros. No idea. But I don't think the measuring stick is, I think you used the word, responsible for winning them games.
Yes.
I think that's too simple.
Sure.
So it's this question of, like you said, it's nuance. It's like, how do you measure what J.J. McCarthy means as a quarterback, you know, to a team like Michigan? I don't know how you do that. Some teams, and Joe Klatt sounds like they measure, you know, they have him really high on their boards because of that. There is that. He's a leader. I don't know what it, maybe he calms the huddle. Maybe he's just good under pressure. Maybe he's quick under pressure. I don't know. I don't know what that measuring stick is, but I don't think it's necessarily, oh, you have to go out and win us this game.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Caleb Williams.
Yeah. I just go down the road of, to me, if I'm evaluating a quarterback, the most overrated stat is wins and losses.
Yeah. So you just don't rate it that high.
No, I don't. I mean, look, you want a guy that can command a huddle and you want a guy that guys rally behind, obviously. Like, you don't want a dumbass like Johnny Manziel. But if you're going to sit there and say that J.J. McCarthy going into this year was a second to third round pick, and because they went undefeated, that all of a sudden moves him into a top five franchise quarterback, that to me is so ridiculous, because J.J. McCarthy is not going to have the Michigan team around him. Like, it's a silly argument. That's why I said most of the winning quarterbacks in the NFL, or excuse me, in college football, didn't make great NFL quarterbacks, and vice versa. Like, it's the elite quarterbacks in college. There's a lot more guys that were middle of the road wins and losses than there were Joe Burrows that were perfect seasons, Heisman trophies, and national championships.
I just believe in the idea that there is an intangible in a quarterback that they just win. I think that's a thing. I just don't know how to measure it, you know, and some people weigh it more than other people. So I would be one that if I could find some way to measure it, I would weigh that a lot. I just think there are some people, and there are people in sports. This would be a good segment. Go through professional sports, maybe even college, but mostly professional, because we've seen them on multiple levels, and find guys that just, you don't really understand why they're so good, but they just are.
Sure.
There's a lot of guys like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something there intangibly that I think does apply, especially to quarterbacks, since it's such an important position. I just don't know how to, you know, they haven't asked me yet to come in and measure it. I'm hoping they do next year, and I'll be an NFL draft analyst.
I just think we fall in love with this 1950s Friday Night Lights notion of the square chin, all-American kid that whatever it takes to win, and he just wins. I don't care what his numbers are, and he just wins. And
you don't think that's true at all? Like, you think that's complete fallacy?
I think it's about 85% fallacy. And again, who are the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
Do I have to name them? God, what is all this sports? We just started. All right, here I go.
Even if we did the top 10 of all time.
Here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes.
He was not good.
He's not good?
He was not a winner.
Oh.
Never won more than 7 games.
Oh, this is what we're doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Terrible. Terrible win-loss
Justin Hebert.
He's
a winner.
He was a winner-ish.
Joe Burrow.
He was great. For 1 year, by the way. 1 year. Before that at Ohio State, and his first year at LSU, he was bad.
Brock Purdy.
Eh. Iowa State.
Did they win? I don't even remember.
They were all right. They were okay.
Lamar.
He won a Heisman Trophy, but he never won squat.
Yeah, they won a lot of games, though, with him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
decent.
Who am I missing?
It wasn't. Louisville wasn't like a, you know, an all-timer. Matthew Stafford.
Stafford.
Okay. Dak.
Where was Stafford?
Okay. He was at Georgia.
Oh, that's right.
They never won anything.
Stetson Bennett. There's a winner.
There's a
winner. two college football championships.
Right.
Find him in the NFL.
Exactly. I think he's in rehab right now.
No, he's out, and he's still with the Rams.
Yeah, but I think that's why he went away.
Yeah, but he's back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Oh.
They're saying Stetson Bennett could be a surprise this year.
I did not know that he was officially back.
Yeah, he's back. Stroud.
Isaac would know. It's his boy, Stetsy.
That's my boy, Stetsy.
Yeah, Stroud was okay, but again, he couldn't beat couldn't beat Michigan.
I still believe in that idea.
Well, you know who won a lot of games? Tim Tebow won a lot of games, and Vince Young won a lot of games.
I just think there are people in people in life that are just, man, they got a little something. And that applies to, I think Burrow is certainly one of these guys.
Yeah.
Like that dude, he's really good. I think a lot of the reason he's really good is I think he's just a killer.
Yeah.
I think that's a guy that's going to be good at anything.
Yeah, but I need a killer that has all the stuff that takes to be a quarterback.
Well, so does he. I mean,
yes,
you think he doesn't?
No. But like the Tim Tebows of the world?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Ultimate competitor.
No. It can't just be that.
Yes.
But I do think there's no... And maybe McCarthy has it. So anyway,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if I'm betting against one guy in this quarterback draft, I will bet against J.J. McCarthy.
Really?
Yes. Of the five or six first rounders, if I have to just bet my money and say which one will not be successful, I'll go ahead and I'll lay it on J.J. McCarthy.
I'm going to bet against Drake May.
Sure.
How about that?
I can see that. He's a guy, again, he's the exact opposite of J.J. McCarthy because he had all the hype in the world. We've talked about him for 2 years, and then in college it was more like, meh.
Sports.
Oh, we sport so hard.
Dude, we bring it on Wednesdays.
That's what we do.
If you guys haven't felt that yet, I hope that sends it right up your spine.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? How about this?
Can I talk about this?
Huh? Hey, guess who we have today?
Kenny Chesney.
When I feel that chill. Smell that fresh cook.
What if we play this for Dan Lanning when he comes on? What if he
I don't want to do it. I'm afraid he's going to like it.
They're fighting for clicks. We're fighting for wins.
Ooh.
It works.
Wait, I hear a Boys of Fall Dan Lanning montage.
It works. It works.
It's working for me. Going
crazy. I ran through that bull junkie
room. Run through the studio wall right now.
Yeah, Dan Lanning's coming on today, 5:15. Let's get started with our poll question next on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right.
What? I wanted to look this up because, again, I just... I wanted to be fair. So I looked up on third down, which is you have to win on third down in the NFL. It's everything. It mm-hmm. is the down. And against Washington, Bama, and Ohio State, arguably the only three real games that Michigan played this year, right?
Washington, Bama, and Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't play anybody else?
No. I mean, I guess I could pull up the Penn State game, but those are the only ranked teams that they played. McCarthy, but Michigan went 1 of 10, 2 of 11, and 3 of 13 on third down. That, I don't love that. I think that, to me, speaks volumes about the faith you have. And by the way, that's a running team that should be in good, manageable third down situations. I'm I just think he is a, I think he is a solid player on a really, really good team. And when they need him, now to be fair, in the Alabama game, when they needed him, he came up with plays. He came up with a couple big drives. But I just, I look at those third down numbers against the good defenses they played, and that absolutely terrifies me if I'm an NFL team and I'm drafting him in the top five.
Here's our poll question today on X at 1080 The Fan. It's brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling. Family business, helping families for over 60 years. AAAIAQ.com.
What? I like that you've gone Seinfeld on me.
Thank you.
On the poll question now.
Yesterday we asked you, which of these playoff bros is the baddest of asses? Let's see, 42% of you said Anthony Edwards, and that is the correct answer. Jamal Murray, 34%. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 14%. And little old Jason Tatum, 10%.
Well, maybe that changes this year if Boston just runs roughshod through everybody.
No love for Tatum. That's exactly right. He will be considered, he will be viewed completely differently if they win the title.
Oh, 100%. It's funny too, like with the way we do MVPs in the NBA, it's like you go through cycles. Like we're good, like Jokic will win his third one, and how much you want to bet he never sniffs another one after this? It's like we'll give him his third, and then we'll be like, all right, well, we've got your, now wait, you know, move on, and we'll move on to the next class of like SGA and Anthony Edwards. If Tatum wins a title next year, watch it. He'll win an MVP. It's like we gave the one to Westbrook for the triple-double thing. We gave it to Harden. Then we're like, you're never going to sniff another one.
Well, didn't Malone get one when Jordan should have?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I think there are two guys that if they win a title, watch out on the MVP front. They could get it every year. Doncic and Edwards.
Yes. Yeah.
If those guys win a title. Yeah.
Look out.
We're going to be, it's, we're going to be talking about him like Jokic.
Yeah. We just go through these weird... The way we move guys up the rankings in the NBA, it's even though like a guy like LeBron, you can make the case LeBron was the best player in the NBA for like 15 years, or like Kevin Durant, you know, had it, has run there, and it's, but like we get tired of seeing the same things, then we have to get some, we got some new blood in there.
Today's question: which of these guys would you bet never makes it to or back to the finals before they retire? Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, or Kawhi Leonard?
Oh, I think it's KD.
Vote and vote hard.
Suns suck.
Yeah,
so does Golden State. I just think Steph's game will age a little bit better. Like Durant is still really good.
Well,
but,
how old is Steph?
Oh,
how old are all these guys?
Steph's got to be like 34, right?
I think 34 is accurate.
I mean, look, Steph and
36.
Durant.
36.
Oh, God.
36, yeah. Bro.
He ain't getting back. Durant. I just thought.
Durant's 35.
Neither one of them's getting back. Take your pick. Coin flip. I mean, maybe I would say Steph because Golden State's worse than Phoenix. Phoenix still has, you know, Booker and they've got Bradley Beal and you still have Durant. I don't know what Golden State has because Klay Thompson and the Draymond thing. Maybe the correct answer to that is Steph.
Yeah, I think it's KD. I mean, I don't know. I mean, do you think we got a Warriors fan on the panel here? Do you think Steph goes somewhere else, or is he a Warrior for life?
I think they're going to make it really hard for him to not be a Warrior for life. I think they're going to try to continue to build around him. I think they're going to try to appease him with making a competitive roster around him. But
if you're Steph and you're 36, and realistically you got two, maybe 3 years left. Are you really, and you've got four rings? Are you really going to go ring chasing to go uproot
like,
your life?
Like where? Are you going to go to OKC or something like that? I mean.
Blazers, baby.
Ring chasing the Blazers. Not something I expected.
I'm going to that lake.
It feels like Steph will just, he'll play 2-3 more seasons in Golden State. And here's the thing, like, we now think with all the nutrition and everything that guys play till they're like 1,000 years old. You're 36 years old.
Like, there's still a shelf life on all these guys' knees.
Yes,
like you just run out of juice after you've accumulated a certain amount of miles.
You know, LeBron, even LeBron, as great as he is, and, you know, whatever he's putting in his body, I think we know.
LeBroni.
Like, even that.
He's the oldest of all of them, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's 38 or 39.
Kawhi's only 32.
Yeah.
Yeah,
LeBron's
39.
He's got all the injury issues or injury past. And then, I think Durant does the biggest matchup issue for people. So that would makes me think he could get back.
I don't know. I think we've seen the last of him in the finals.
I think that's true, too.
I don't know why that Suns team isn't better. It's so weird.
Well, it's not a good roster construction outside of the three. And Bradley Beal, you know, it turns out Bradley Beal had a little bit of the Kevin Love. You put up a lot of numbers on a really bad team because it's just – and you like the fact that you have those three and you're this bad, like the roster construction just isn't good. And the other one about why none of these guys are getting back, and I mean none of them, dude, there's some young horses coming up in this league. One, Denver isn't going anywhere. Boston isn't going anywhere, right? You assume that Milwaukee, you would think, eventually is going to figure it out when Giannis gets healthy and Dame. But the Knicks next year with Randall, when he's back, they're really good. Minnesota has arrived. Oklahoma City has arrived. Dallas is only going to continue to get better. If Zion ever gets healthy, New Orleans has something cooking. You would think within 3 years, Wemby's going to be the best player in the NBA. If San Antonio puts anything around him, and you got to imagine that they would with Pop, like there's just the old hats. It's gone. It's passed them by. These guys, none of these guys are getting back. We've got a new wave coming in.
Well, I think you also have the possibility that some of them, maybe not Curry, but some of these bros team up with the young guys.
Yeah, I could see that.
You know, and go ring chasing. Kevin Durant, certainly a candidate for that.
He forces his way out. You know, just,
and Kawhi is too, I think.
Can you imagine if he just would have pulled his head out of his arse and just stayed in Golden State?
Or what if he goes full circle and he ends up back in OKC where it all started? It's like the fourth fiddle to those guys.
I'll tell you what. You want to talk about what would be a great move if he wanted to try to ride off in the... Exactly. Because they still have a bunch of young expendable pieces and draft capital. You get Kevin Durant back there and he plays... He's just an assassin for those guys with that squad.
He's like your second best option behind SGA, and then you got Chet out there too.
All right, here's a question.
That'd be pretty cool.
If you have one series to win right now,
starting
tomorrow, the star that I will give you is either Anthony Edwards or Kevin Durant. Who do you take?
I'm taking Anthony Edwards.
Are you?
Yeah. Yeah. I want the youth. And Kevin Durant is so good and he's criminally underrated, but dude, you gotta have some gas in your tank. And
you think he's underrated?
I think we've slept on how good Kevin Durant was and still is. I mean, he's an underrated defender. He can still rebound, but again, man, I just look at this series, these last two games, dude, Minnesota has handled them and Ant hasn't backed down at all. Anthony Edwards is one of those guys that's a coming and is, well, he's announcing it right now that's one of the next great stars in the NBA.
Good article on him in the Wall Street Journal today.
Mm-hmm.
And they said it was a pretty interesting look at how he was built.
Yeah.
In that he played football. You know, his first sport was not basketball.
Well, he claims that he's better at and likes football better.
Yeah. I guess he was a sensation in high school football where people would come. I think, I don't remember where he grew up, but people would come from all around to watch him play.
He played college at Georgia. I don't know if he's from that area. But
he was a running back. And he got hurt, and he switched to basketball because it was an easier route to the money, right? But they said that his high school coach, once he got on the basketball team, they were, like, trying to set him down and show him full games and, like, teach him the game of basketball.
Yeah.
But he said he wouldn't do it. He would just say, I'll go watch the highlights on Instagram. Mm. And if you look at his game, it's all highlight reel stuff from all of the key guys.
Yeah.
Like he's got a little Kobe highlight reel, you know, you could tell he mimicked that. He's certainly, they were saying in this article, he actually has some Tim Duncan highlight reel stuff in there. And it's really interesting that he's kind of the first, now, not everybody can do this. He's just a freak athlete who was gifted enough to be able to translate this to the highest level.
Sure.
But he's really just built himself off of and learned the game off of watching highlights on Instagram.
Huh.
And you can see that in his game.
It's a little terrifying. That's the whole Gen Z thing coming, right?
Exactly.
And I think he's got a great personality. I he's hilarious. I think guys like that are good for the league. He's not afraid to show his personality, and I love that his second best sport is in his mind the NBA, and yet here he is, one of the best young players in the league. And by the way, they're handing it to Phoenix.
All right, which of these guys would you bet never makes it to or back to the finals before they retire? Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, or Kawhi Leonard? Vote at 1080 The Fan on X. And right now, I just checked the results. It's been up there for several hours. It is a dead heat between Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. Hmm. How about that?
Well, I could see
that. And then Lillard close third, and then Steph a close fourth. It's very close.
Yeah. I guess technically Lillard never has made it to a finals, but...
Well, yeah. That's why I worded it the way I did.
Yeah, it's just, you know, could he get there?
It's which of these guys would you bet never makes it to or back to the finals before they retire? Yeah. That's why I said it that way. Yeah. All right, vote hard. We'll get back to the NFL draft coming up next. Which positions hit at the highest rate? Here's Buck.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Very important to me.
All right, welcome back. Hello.
I've been made aware of something, and now I can't look away. So, like, there's the Hockey World Championships, the, like, IIHF, like, the International Ice Hockey Federation. And I guess they're doing some Asian qualifiers. It's the Asian and Oceanic side of things. And I know that that's not real hockey territory over there. Not sure if you're familiar with Hong Kong and whatnot, but not a lot of ice hockey played over there. But Thailand played Kuwait in a game. Would you care to guess what the score of that game was?
Well, I can't imagine either is great at hockey.
And by the way, I'm watching the highlights and I can't look away. And no, neither side is very good. But
I can't see the Kuwaitis winning that game.
You're correct on that.
So what did you ask?
The score.
The score of the game?
And by the way, I'll give you a hint. Kuwait didn't score.
I could see them winning this game. I could see them losing this game.
It's a hockey game.
Hockey game, yes. Same thing, 20 minutes. 20-minute periods.
I don't know. 17 to nothing.
57-0.
Whoa.
Something Wong.
And Kuwait got one shot on goal. Not a goal. The shots were 122 to 1. And watching the highlights, I'm not convinced that the Kuwaiti players can skate. And I watched about 12 goals go in, and not once did the goalie go down on his knees. You know, like they play the butterfly style where you go down and use your pads to block the ice. I don't believe their goalie can go down and then get back up. He just stands there and lets the puck go by his feet.
I'm a fan of this Thai team. 122 shots.
122 shots.
Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. If I coached hockey, that's what we do.
Yeah. Do you think their coach is like, you know, guys, goal differential could matter in this tournament, so we're just not going to call off the dogs?
Well,
like when you get to like 20, wouldn't that be enough to be like, okay, let's see it around a little bit with
it? When you get to 35, and if you're Kuwait,
why not 30? Why 35?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Why not 15?
15. Well, the other, if you went out on an international, that's like, Rob, like if you played at a Langdon, you got a tournament out at Langdon, or you're going to play in some golf tournament, and you get up there, and it's a skins game, and the guy you're playing against, he can't tee the ball up. Like, he's just dropping the ball off the tee, and he's hitting with the old Billy Baru. Wouldn't you just feel bad at that point?
No, I'd club him. I'd dominate. Take his money. Let's go. Take no mercy.
He's out there.
What's the saying? Take no prisoners.
Take no prisoners.
No mercy.
He's out there in flip-flops. You know, he's left-handed, but he's playing with right-handed clubs.
Hey, you entered. They're in the tournament.
They're in the tournament. Yes, they are.
Stop somebody.
They can't. Wait, do you think Kuwait, when they went off, they're like, hey, boys, it's a nice effort. We only gave up 57. Hey, congratulations on that shot on goal. We really...
Well,
at some point, I would start creative defenses. I'd say, like, could we lay all our guys down and stack them on top of each other in front of the goal and just block it that way? Like, there have to be better methods than what we're out here doing. Could we, like, get into a little pod and bunch up and just stand in front?
Yeah.
And I don't know which is crazier, giving up 57 goals or only getting one shot on goal. Which one's more, like...
Probably giving up 57.
I wonder what their total time of possession was. Like, you know, I bet they couldn't possess the puck.
Well, there's only 60 minutes in a hockey game, and they gave up 57 goals.
Well, you put it that way.
I mean, that's
wild.
You would think that just on the
I'm a little disappointed they didn't get 60.
I know. Just the idea that, like, you just, if you took the puck into the corner and just tied someone up against the boards, that kills some time. At some point, like, you just... Take three knees and punt, right? Just bleed some clock.
You know what's even more amazing about it is that it was to the Thai team.
Yes.
Not even like to the Canadians.
No. And by the way, watching
or the Germans.
Watching Thailand skate.
Wait,
it's,
who are good skaters?
You know, all of those. Those are good teams.
The Germans? Canadians, yeah. any Nordic regions.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm convinced that if Team Canada or Finland played them, it might be 130-0. Can they get negative goals? Can you score so many goals that you go around and you just start taking away goals from the other team? I've never seen a goalie not be able. I mean, like, being a goalie is harder than you think. Actually, like, goalies have to be pretty good skaters. But wouldn't you think at some point that you would just fall to your knees? Like, you know you're not going to be able to get back up, but the puck's coming on the ground, just fall down.
And then just stay down there,
I guess. Just stay down and get big. Just
make them shoot over you.
Yeah, right? Make them elevate the puck. Watching that guy, like, he literally is just looking down as the puck is going by his foot, and then he just kind of kicks at it like, oh, I'll try to get it that way.
At what point in the game do you think the Kuwait coach pulled his goalie? Do you think 10 goals in? He's like, all right.
I'd like to believe
all right, Muhammad, you're out.
I'd like to believe they just let him out there to dry. And they're like, "What? Hey, just want you to know, come hell or high water, you're my guy. I'm sticking with you the entire time."
Mm.
I'm guessing.
That's brutal.
I'm guessing after 12 to 15 goals, you should probably get the hook. The NHL, it's usually around 6 to 7 that you're going to get run at that point. But
well, I feel bad for that team. That's brutal. And now I kind of want to see the rest of their games.
I know.
See the scores.
This is going to send
maybe
me
the ties are a juggernaut.
This is going to send me down a rabbit hole of what the Kuwaitis have going on.
I want Thailand to make the tournament and then see what, like, Canada or Sweden can put up against them.
Against Thailand?
Yeah.
Not Kuwait.
Like, see if this 57-0 juggernaut is really all that when they face some of the more traditional hockey-dominant nations.
You guys, impromptu hockey talk.
It
happens.
Yeah.
It happens. Let's go. All right, we've got Mel Kiper missing, and which positions hit at the highest rate in the draft? We'll get to that. Came out today. A lot of people are talking about that. We'll hit you with that. It is 3:49 on the Fan. Someone asked in the Vancouver 4 text line, could the Canadians beat the Kuwaitis without sticks?
This is interesting because you're not allowed to kick the puck into the goal, but you can deflect it. So Canada would literally have to have their guys kick the puck and then someone just position their skate and have it ricochet off, which seems quite hard. But then when you realize that the Kuwaiti goalie cannot go down, his biggest weakness is, well, pucks going by his feet. I think Canada wins that game. I'm going to say like 10-0.
With no sticks.
Does
Thailand beat them with just one stick?
I would think so.
And they just pass it around.
While
the Kuwaitis fall all over the ice.
I think that's the key. You give your fastest guy, you give him the stick, and you just let him go. And the rest of you just kind of form around the goal, and you win that game. Same thing, 10-0.
But one of our listeners has done a deep dive in that exact Kuwait team that lost 57-0. They beat Malaysia 15-1.
Yeah, I guess these international competitions. Some of these nations that don't play hockey
Probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't, because they were saying that this was like a big deal in Thailand. Thailand at one point, a couple years ago, they lost in this same tournament. They lost to South Korea 92-0. So
that's like a goal every 45 seconds.
Yeah, 1.5 goals per minute.
How does that even happen?
I don't know. Slovakia beat Bulgaria in the 2010 Olympic women's ice hockey qualifier, 82-0. I mean, Kazakhstan beats, like, there's just certain teams that should not play ice hockey. Like, no offense, but like, if you're from the Sudan, this isn't like a cool runnings thing where we have the Jamaican ice team. Just don't do this. This is bad.
Ladies and gentlemen, more impromptu hockey talk.
Weird international Asian tournament.
Now that's hockey talk I can get into.
There you go. And so far, 92-0 is the worst that I can find, and that was this same Thailand team.
All right, in the interest of staying on time, we're going to break. And when we return to our show, we are going to hear Mel Kiper with, and then we're going to talk about this. I don't know. I think this guy was at ESPN. Yeah, he's a content producer, ESPN, named Paul Himbo.
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Schefter tweeted this out today, but a lot of people have been talking about it on their shows. He calculated the percentage of first-round picks that hit or miss based upon whether that player signed a second contract with the team that drafted him.
Yeah. And that's
It's a rough
idea.
I mean, as somebody pointed out on the comments, that means Daniel Jones would be considered a hit.
Yeah.
So it's not the best.
But it gives you a rough idea.
Yeah, indicator. But it is pretty interesting listing. And there's one position that misses at a 73% rate.
Ooh.
So we'll get to all of that coming up next hour on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.